Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mel Fabregas from The Veritas Show, coming to you with an important news bulletin. There is an absolute media blackout regarding the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. We keep hearing of what seem to be unsubstantiated reports. I say unsubstantiated because, aside from the few images of wildlife covered in oil, there is nothing else. However, my stand literally changed a few minutes ago when I spoke to documentary filmmaker James Fox, who is at the closest point of this disaster. He's in Grand Isle, Louisiana, and the situation on the ground is most dire. Please know that I am in no way trying to spread any fear. I am simply reporting what you are not being told by the mainstream media. Why? Because their actions, or lack thereof, indicate that their reporting is being limited to a certain extent. And here's my conversation with James Fox. And directly from the state of Louisiana, closest to the epicenter of this massive environmental disaster, I have on the line respective documentary filmmaker and a friend of the show, James Fox. Hello, James. How are you?
Well, be honest with you, a little freaked out.
You know, James, I'm glad to hear your voice, first of all, and to know that you are fine. This is an out-of-the-blue interview, no pun intended. But I've been following your entries for the last couple of days. And for the listeners, tell us when you got there, what you have found. And James, is it true that the mainstream media is not reporting what you are seeing?
Well, here's what's happening. And I be honest with you, I wouldn't believe it had I not seen it with my own eyes. I arrive. First of all, I spent a couple days in New Orleans kind of, you know, acclimating myself and with a partner, a friend of mine, Jet, and we went around and did some interviews, man on the street. And it's kind of like life as usual and, you know, the festivities and Bourbon Street and everything else. And then we went out and we started to do some interviews talking about the oil spill. And there's this underlying sentiment, anger, frustration that came out, pouring out. I mean, so people are so upset by their very way of life is being threatened right now, and the way the whole issue is being dealt with. So we do some preliminary investigation. We find, you know, one of the places to go, obviously, is Grand Island, Grand Isle. So we drive out to Grand Isle today, and, you know, it's kind of, I mean, the air is so thick out here, you could cut it with a knife. I mean, the humidity and everything, and we're dealing with camera lenses fogging up and the windscreen and everything else. And we get out to the tip of, I mean, we're like, I don't know, 10 miles, maybe 5 to 10 miles from the epicenter at this point. And it's like bustling with activity. Helicopters were like, you know, a whole fleet of Chevron helicopters and just workers everywhere and people with badges. And I stop at this corner store and it was just this feeling like this operation that was going on. And I just felt something very, very intense was happening. I get out of the car, my friend stays in the car, I go into the corner market, and I'm just being watched. Like, I can't tell you the feeling. I haven't had this investigating some of the most incredible UFO cases, like, for instance, Stephenville. I felt a little watched. This, I felt really uncomfortable. Get out of the car, I'm just being eyeballed. There's all these workers, they've got these, like, passes, like, credentials or passes on. I don't know if it's part of the cleanup crew or what. Go into the store, and I'm being looked at, and I try to acknowledge these people by, you know, hello, and they just turn and look at their feet. They're watching me, but they're not interacting with me at all. So I sit down at the counter and I order like a soda pop. I'm talking to this couple of 15-year-old boys next to me, and the father of this boy apparently is working as part of the cleanup. He was a fisherman, but he no longer has his job, so he's part of the cleanup crew.
Sure.
And I'm starting to get this guy warmed up a little bit, real casual, you know, and I start talking to this kid, and he says, you know, nobody's talking to anybody out here right now. Where are you from? And I kind of tell him, oh, you know, I'm a concerned citizen. I'm in here. And he says, you know, there's my dad's out of the cleanup crew, and there's a whole lot more to this story than what the media is reporting on right now. I'll tell you that much. Start talking, listen to a little bit more. It turns out, like, basically what's happening is there's a complete media blackout. They are arresting mm-hmm. people with cameras. They're arresting. They will even arrest, I was told, off camera, that if they're caught talking to a reporter, they are going to go to jail.
Wait a second, James. So this is true, what's circulating out there?
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Yes, absolutely true. I'm here. I'm sorry, I'm told to keep my voice down in my hotel room. But it was absolutely true. I swear to you, I wouldn't have believed it had I been there myself. And they say, you call this a free country right here in the United States of America, and there's no freedom of press, there's no freedom of speech. They're closing down the airspace above the oil spill so reporters can't fly over just to determine how bad these oil plumes really are. They're putting these detergents. What's something they're putting in? The dispersants in the water that cause the
dispersants,
whole thing.
Yes.
That's just like a known fact out here. And any cameras, they're shutting off the beaches. You can't take any. I talked to people working in gas stations in the area saying that my sister's out here. She couldn't even take a picture. No one will allow any photography. You have to sign.
Who is arresting people? Who?
That's a very good question. Is it BP behind it? This is supposed to be a state park. I'm telling you right now, my partner was like, let's get the beep out of here right now. I mean, I really wanted to stay there and go to a local bar and find out more. Tomorrow I'm going to go back in there, but I'm telling you right now, they got the clamp down. It's high security. BP is taking over. As far as I know, it's BP. And the government, to some extent, must have some involvement with it. I mean, Obama was at that very location on Friday. There was no mention of all this secrecy.
Somebody sent me a video tonight of people who are supposedly witnessing Humvees and black vehicles with red lettering that say disaster relief and troops in full gear. Have you seen any of that?
I have not, but that wouldn't surprise me at all. I tell you, it was getting really dark. I saw police. We saw police on a number of occasions pulling cars over. They said they're arresting people with cameras. You can't even get access to the Grand Isle, which we were about 5 or 10 miles away from. There's all this activity going on, like it's bustling with activity, and there's this underlying feeling of like secrecy and almost like, I'll be honest with you, I hate to be kind of like this is a huge disaster, that the extent of this is so much further than what we're being told. That's, I'm telling you, man, I was out there today, just a few hours ago, and I'd never seen anything like it. And I wouldn't believe what I'm saying had I not through my own eyes. I'm going to investigate it. I'm going to go out there further tomorrow morning and ask a little further, but people are reluctant to talk. I mean, I'm telling you, I got some gasoline on the way out of town, and I talked to the woman behind the counter. She said, well, that's really funny. My sisters, you know, they grew up in this area. My sister couldn't even take a picture. She was risk getting arrested. I said, who's doing this? Who's behind this?
Yes.
I don't know, man.
If I call the Grand Isle Police Department and speak to the sheriff's office and ask them, sir, who is arresting people, you think they'll tell us?
I don't know. I mean, I'll be glad to give you guys an update. I'm going to go back out there in the morning, but I'm also going to a place called Huma, where the fishing industry is largely affected. But there is a huge operation. It looks to me as though the oil companies have taken over and they're running things and they're calling the shots. That's what it looks like to me.
James, you are a respected documentary filmmaker. You have connections with the mainstream media. Have you been able to approach the mainstream media with what you're finding?
I approached them today. I called CNN and I said, got to call me. I got to talk to you guys. And she said, I can't call you right now. I'll call you later. And I'm waiting to get a call. I'm waiting to get a call from her. But be honest with you right now, I mean, whether or not I can get someone to come forward, even if they're in disguise, I mean, these people are like petrified. I mean, seriously, I've never seen anything quite like it. I mean, you know, you investigate UFO stories like Stephenville, Texas, and you have people reluctantly talking about it. But I mean, these people don't even want to, they didn't even want to talk to me about it. They just look down at their feet when I try to interact with them in any way. And I stand out. Anyone from outside that region would stand out, but everyone's highly suspicious. And you're very aware that you're being watched. I can't explain it. I'm trying to articulate what it felt like. It was like I felt like I was being watched everywhere I went. I was being looked at. And as soon as I would turn around, people would look down at their shoes. But they were looking at me, and they were monitoring what I was doing. And it freaked me out. I mean, they hit this kid. My friend doesn't even want to go. My partner who's here with me right now, she doesn't want to go back. I'm going to go back tomorrow with or without her. But I don't know what else to say. It's like a complete media blackout.
It almost feels as if you're in a town that's under siege and everybody's just getting ready for martial law to be declared.
Exactly what it felt like. I mean, it's this. I've never felt anything like it. As a matter of fact, I'm having a hard time articulating what it felt like. I hope your listeners are hearing what I'm saying. But it was just eerie, man. Really.
And that's why I'm glad that I have you on the line, James, because there's a lot of rumor out there. And I know there are some people that are probably fear-mongering. But now that I'm talking to you, and you're a person that you kill rumor with fact, and your reporting is impeccable, and the fact that you're there and you're seeing this, so have you been able to see the coast?
No, I've not been able to see the coast. I'm going to try. I've got a number of one person there who lives there now. I'm going to call him in the morning and see if there's any route at all I can take to get to the coast. I'm going to do the best I can. I mean, I hope I don't get arrested. I mean, I'm going to keep my, I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly how I'm going to go about it. I'm just going to, I'm not going to go out there blatantly with my camera. I'm going to keep it kind of tucked away, and I'm going to drive out there like some ignorant tourist or something. I'm going to try. But I'll tell
I tell you what, you're here with me tonight. I will make sure that I air this tonight. I'm going to put it on the website and send a lot of messages out there to people. If something happens to you, if you're arrested tomorrow, people are going to know about this. And I want to know who's going to be arresting you for what reason. This is America, folks. The First Amendment right. We're trying to report something. Is there a crime scene there? No. What is it then?
They're not even letting fishermen go out. People go out in boats. I mean, it's literally like a media blackout. And these are good old boys I'm talking to. These are good old boys.
Of course.
You know, and they're believing, you know, freedom of speech. And they were just absolutely baffled. This guy says, what the hell is this? I can't, you know, we're not even letting the media in here to talk about what's going on. And this boy, the boy was 15. His father's involved in the cleanup. And he said, the media's not reporting one-tenth of what's really going on out there. That's what he told me.
But when they say that, when they say that the media's not reporting the full extent of what's happening, what do you speculate they're referring to? That the oil spill is bigger than we think? Or are there multiple ones? Or what is the deal?
That the oil spill is much bigger than they want us to think.
I got some information last week, James, that there's the Jacksonville Air Force Base, which is surrounded by trees and you can't see from the outside. One of the runways has about 5,000 UN vehicles. I saw a satellite picture of that, white vehicles. And as I'm getting more information, there is a possibility of a massive relocation if this oil spill gets into the current to Florida. And when you see all this marine life die, all this stuff that's coming up is sulfuric acid. People are not going to be able to breathe. I mean, things are starting to look really dire.
I tell you, I would probably think this was like hyperbole or overblown, exaggerated stuff. Until I saw what I saw today, I couldn't believe it. It's like BP. It made me really feel like the oil companies are running the whole government, that they're calling the shots. And the fact that they had that press conference with the president, Obama, on Friday, there was no indication of any of this. I saw reports of that. I thought I was going to be able to go there with my press pass and, like, document a little bit about what's going on. I was going to hire a plane, fly over the water. Hell no, it's all shut down.
It's if this really is not an indication of a fascist state.
Not only that, every single hotel room within a 60-70 mile radius is absolutely full. The fact that we got a hotel room, it was the last possible place option. We drove almost 2 hours to get to it in the middle of the night. I mean, I've been driving since dark to get here. I thought I was going to sleep in the car tonight. Be honest with you, if I wasn't with my friend, I probably would have slept in the car.
Do you see any media, any vans, any satellite vans anywhere around there parked everywhere for you to be able to talk to?
I didn't see, and that's another thing, I felt like I was alone. I mean, I didn't go further in, but it was getting dark. I saw some police with lights pulling people over, and I saw lots of helicopters that said Chevron on them. It was like a whole, like, fleet of helicopters and lots of activity. Big trucks, moving equipment. I saw bulldozers. I saw bustling. It was just bustling with activity. But they were all kind of minding their own business, and I felt really observed, and I walked, like I said, I walked in this corner store, and I sat down, and nobody wanted to talk to me. And I started talking to the 15-year-old boy, and I'm usually pretty good at getting people to, you know, be calm and open up to me. That's like one of my only talents, and I'm telling you, man, it was really spooky, really.
Well, you have many talents, but James, if you have a, not to trivialize things, but if you have a medical condition and you go to the doctor and the doctor continues to misdiagnose you once, twice, three times, you change doctors. Why isn't the federal government finally telling BP, step out of the way, we're going to bring the Army Corps engineer or somebody else to help?
Well, I mean, I think it's, I mean, look, I don't know for sure. I'm just telling you what my speculation is. And the feeling I got from the people I talked to was that this is a lot worse than what they want us to know about. And they're trying to keep that from the public. I mean, I guess they're using these chemicals to get the oil to seep down to these massive plumes. And I talked to somebody who flew over. Who was it? About a little over a week ago, who told me, I talked to, his name was Stephen Kennedy of Bioremediation Inc. And they flew over one of these plumes. I think they said it was like 20 miles long and a mile wide. And that was just one of them. 20 miles long and a mile wide. That was over a week ago. How many millions of gallons are going out every single day?
And these chemicals are making things worse, not better. These dispersants.
Here's another thing I've been hearing. Now, I've been hearing this. I can't say that I've talked to someone who's sick personally, but I mean, believe me, I've been hanging out with the locals. I've been trying to get as much information as I can, and that people are getting sick, and they're saying people can smell these toxic fumes, and they're saying that I guess BP's response basically is it's like seasickness or food sickness, which is absolute hogwash. People are smelling these fumes. I'm going to know a lot more. I'm here for 2 weeks, and I'm really going to stick my teeth into this one. I'm here for 2 weeks.
Oh,
I got a high-definition camera. I'm going to document as much as I possibly can. I'm going to do the best I can, Mel. I mean, but I tell you right now, Grand Isle is, I mean, they got that place on lockdown. I mean, I'm going to go back in the morning first thing, but I don't know how much, I don't know what I'm going to get out of there other than, I don't know.
James, we're concerned about your safety. That's why I'm going to start putting this information out ASAP. Whenever you feel that you need to give us some updates and the mainstream media is not helping out, I'll do whatever I can. I already spoke to Paula Harris. We're going to start helping you as much as we can. Be safe, my friend.
I really, really appreciate it. And please do stay in touch. I will. I'll be putting. There's a Facebook fan page for I Know What I Saw. People can. I'll be putting some updates on there. I'll put in links to videos that I'm shooting out here. I'm trying to compress stuff every night when I get back to my hotel room and put these things on. I did one, which I put a link on my Facebook page of an interview, a quick phone interview I did with a guy, bioremediation. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, the stuff that I'm, you know. But let's do stay in touch, and I really appreciate you having me on, and I really appreciate your support.
Whatever we need to help, all you need to do is let me know, okay?
I will definitely do that, and thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be talking to you tonight.
Take good care, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, let's keep James Fox in our thoughts. He will be there for 2 weeks, and I have made myself available to him at any time for any updates. Stay tuned by visiting our website, veritasshow.com. Until the next update, this is Mel Fabregas. Be well.